What's up, lead 'em up? My name is Titi Ayodurajai. I go to Villanova University where I play football and run track, and I'm an alum of Damascus High School in Damascus, Maryland. Lead 'em up was such a great program for me. When I met Adam, I actually met him my junior year, but where we really took off was my senior year basketball season, and he came to me and my team in a time where personally for me a lot was going on, and you know, he helped me get through all that by teaching me that leaders, you know, lead and encourage others even when it's not convenient for them. And it wasn't convenient for me at all because of the stuff I was dealing with mentally. But for sure, just keep your eyes open, your heart open, and ears open to the stuff he and his team has to teach you, and you're going to be up for success, and you're going to be a great leader on and off the court, and that's all that matters. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Hey, thank you for hanging out with us today. I'm Adam Bradley of Lead 'Em Up, and I'm joined by my good friend and head coach, state championship winning head coach, Coach John Kelly over at Quince Orchard High School. For those that aren't familiar with the Maryland football scene, Quince Orchard is a public school in the 4A, the highest conference ranking in Maryland, and QO is a powerhouse for all intents and purposes. They're a powerhouse. They're a powerhouse in the public school football scene. John has won the state championship two out of the last three seasons, and fresh off a state championship win just a couple months ago. And Coach, you know, I wanted to get you on because, you know, I've joked with you many times, you know, you're the green standard, right? Like you set this standard. There's programs all over our region that are familiar with Quince Orchard that want to build a program like yours. And we've had you on in the past to talk about just your overall approach to building the program. But specifically today, I want to go through the championship run with you. And I want to kind of pick your brain about how you were able and how you've been able to now two out of the last three seasons to push all the right buttons to get your team ready. Because, you know, in this past year, you went into that state championship game against a school in Prince George's County that is, they're also really high standard, right? They're in that state championship game almost every year. And you all didn't just win on a last minute victory, right? You all went in and almost handled it from minute one all the way through the end. What was the final score? I forget off the top of my head.
31-13.
Yeah, 31-13. And it was lopsided from the beginning. I mean, we were prepared. Your guys were prepared, and you clearly were doing the right thing. So let me just ask you, you know, how much does your schedule and routine change from regular season to postseason play?
Yes, that's a good question to ask, because I'll be honest, this year, you know, was probably the first time in, I guess, my seventh year as head coach that we actually did kind of change our schedule for the playoffs. You know, again, it's a long season. This year was a little different as well, too, kind of going into it. You know, we really started playing football again in February because we had there's no fall season in 2020. So we started up the last day of February. We played three games in the springtime. That kind of ran right into summer conditioning. So really, you know, by the time we got into the playoffs, entering week 10, you know, our kids have been, you know, we've been, and the majority of our team we had in the springtime. So we've been going for a while. So we got into week 10, which is our first week of the playoffs here in Maryland. And we did have some guys that were beat up a little bit, just like dings, nothing like serious, but guys were just, they were just dinged up. So kind of as a coaching staff, we kind of, you know, kicked around some ideas. And I thought, you know, I said, listen, guys, I think what we're going to do is, you know, we're just going to go helmets. You know, we're just going to practice in helmets every day of the week except for one day. So really for the final 5 weeks of the year, to keep our guys fresh and keep our guys kind of energized and rejuvenated, we went in helmets every day of the week except for Tuesdays. I know a lot of guys, well, you know, the kind of toughness, or, you know, you're going to lose some of that, you know, that physicality. But I wasn't worried about our guys if we were physical. And we'd prove that, you know, the previous 9 weeks. I wanted to keep our guys fresh and rejuvenated. And I think it really paid dividends for us, to be honest.
So when you say they're dinged up, like, are these like noticeable injuries, or is this just a sense or a vibe that you get just from leading the team that you just felt like there was some tiredness, there was just some aching, like
correct.
Evident or what?
Yeah, correct. The combination of both. So like a guy just maybe his shoulder's sore, guy's got a short, you know, his knee's a little dinged up, ankle is a little sore. And also when you're going through the season and you're putting on the shoulder pads and going out and, you know, every single Monday, and all of a sudden you're going from shoulder pads and pants to just your helmet. Like you could feel it the first day we did, our kids like, oh man, like this is great. I can just wear my helmet. And they're running around faster in practice. Like they're getting to drills faster. We're in our team periods. They're moving at a faster speed. So that, again, I think allowed us again to save their legs, to save their bodies, but also they played faster in practice. Cause it's almost like we tricked them. Like we tricked their brains. Like they're really, I mean, we didn't really do much, but in their mind, they got tricked and they played faster in practice. And again, that was something, again, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I never would have done that, you know, in my, you know, my first year or so of, you know, but it worked.
Well, let me ask you, how much of that is you just, how much of it played into the fact that you had this weird spring season that you just alluded to versus you just growing and maturing as a coach? And just, was it like early on, like you never would have done that because you're such a football coach, like, nah, we got to be physical. Like I can't.
Correct.
So how much of it is the spring season versus you just growing as a coach?
I think it's a combination of both. I think too, is more of a combination of me being able to accept the fact, listen, guys, we don't have to be banging every single day. The most important part is the execution part. And we can execute really well in just helmets, you know, and we can make sure we're blocking the right guy. We can make sure we're getting lined up right. You know, we're covering, we're doing all the right things or schematically, offensively, defensively, special teams by being in helmets. You can get that done effectively, you know, if your kids are locked in and clued in from the start of practice, which our kids were.
And did you get a sense, looking back in hindsight, did the game intensity, you already talked about practice intensity increasing, but the game intensity and physicality, was there any decrease, do you think?
No, honestly, there wasn't, to be honest. I mean, and that's the one thing, like, I guess some schools, you know, it's really, if again, I never questioned our kids' toughness and our kids' physicality. So if you're not, and I knew, like, again, we'd done it for 9 weeks before, so I wasn't really worried about that being a problem. I knew once the game started that even if we're just practicing in helmets and only shoulder pads for one day a week, you know, we felt pretty confident that our kids would come out and still, you know, we were still working tackling drills every day in practice with helmets on. You know, we would still tackle 3 days a week. But again, it's just, you can, you know, teach tackling very successfully just wearing helmets. So still do basic fundamentals, blocking, tackling.
What about the schedule? Right. Is I think a lot of individuals, all right, we're now in postseason. Everything needs to be amplified. And I imagine there's coaches that say, I need to now practice an hour longer, right? Because the stakes are higher. How does your schedule change or does it stay the same come postseason time?
Now, again, kind of the same thing, right? And I'll be honest, I think this year I was probably more, because you can ask our kids, I mean, you know, sometimes we'll make jokes at practice. Hey, guys, listen, man, make sure you bring 2 Snickers to practice today. All right. It's a 3 Snicker practice because they know that we're going to be there a little longer. But as the season kind of wore on, you know, I really tried to make a heart. I say, guys, listen, this is our schedule. This is what we're doing. I go over a whole entire practice schedule out of practice with what we're going to do for the day. And I say, listen, guys, we're getting done today. I'm having you off this field today by 5:45. I'm having you off the field by 5:30. We're done by 5:00. And I would try to hold fast to that, you know, and at the end of practice, oh, coach, man, you got us off the, you know, we're done. You know, there'd be sometimes early on, you know, maybe like on a Monday that we might run over a little bit, but I really did try to, was very conscientious of making sure that, especially as the season went on, that we were not on the field as long. You know, we were trying to get out off the field as quick as we get our work in, but I don't want us to be out there for 3.5 hours, you know, just again, to keep our legs fresh and keep our bodies and our minds fresh. Cause again, it's 14 weeks is a long time. It's long. So especially for the kids.
And that's so, just 14 weeks of the regular season, but to your
correct,
point,
that doesn't even count
all that. Yeah.
That doesn't count when, you know, when we started. So it's like mental, like, and again, that's something I think you just have to have a feel for. like as a coach, you have to just kind of feel that, like in your kids, and like, you know, from their mannerisms and their body language, and you know, like how they're responding to stuff. You know, you can get a feel for that.
So let me also ask you about your control, and I don't know if that's the right term on this, your control over the players. Essentially where I'm going with this is, you know, I know obviously during the season, you're always checking in with players. You want to make sure they're in class on time and all those different things. I would get the sense that during the playoffs, like that micromanaging of your players and where they are, and are they locked in? Are they doing the right things? Like, intensifies from a coach perspective, because now the stakes are higher. Do you find yourself like changing how often you're checking in with players to make sure they're, you know, in class on time and doing all those things? Do you find yourself like checking in on what they're doing on the weekends more during that playoff time compared to regular season? Because once again, stakes are higher now. Everyone needs to be more locked in, more disciplined, more responsible, more mature, all those things. Talk about that dynamic.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that kind of has two sides to it. So I guess what I would say to that too, is if you think about it, like I also think that, because for us, right, so our schedule really starts from like Monday. So we're going like Monday through Saturday. Like, you know, obviously practicing Monday through Thursday, game Friday, Saturday, you know, we come in and we have breakfast in the morning, we watch film and we lift. And the players are usually done around like noon on that Saturday, and they come in at 8:30. So when they leave us like at noon on Saturday, like I don't want to have maybe a little interaction, but I really kind of want them to have a mental break. Like, I think that's important, like that they have a mental break. That Saturday and Sunday is like kind of their time. Like, there's some interactions, like maybe, you know, if we're, you know, quick message here or there, but for the most part, I think that's a mental break for them to kind of just, you know, they can watch film on their own, which they'll do, but they don't need myself or some of the coaches kind of on them constantly then. But once we hit Monday, that's different. Like Monday, that's when it's full gas, you know, but they're refreshed because they've had Sunday and Saturday to really take that mental break, you know, to hang out, to just kind of decompress a little bit themselves. And then once we get to Monday, then yes, it's full gas as far as making sure everybody's locked in, clued in. But the biggest part of being locked in, clued in, or helping them to get there is really the relationship you have with them to be able to do that. Like, you have to have a relationship with all your kids to be able to put them in that, you know, to be able to communicate, you know, kind of how you want them to, you know, how you want them to act and practice and all that stuff. If you don't have that, then you're going to have nothing.
So talk to me about Quince Orchard, for all intents and purposes. You're the favorite in almost every game you ever play, right? And, you know, your players going through the playoffs, I mean, everyone's hyping QO, okay? Like, our players are on social media. They're getting hyped. They're getting boosted by their friends and all that. Quince Orchard this, Quince Orchard that. Talk to me about the dynamic of being the favorite. Are you trying to manufacture underdog stories within this? Are you trying to manufacture chips on their shoulder? How are you keeping them mentally not ahead of the game, right? Not ego-driven, all that. How are you managing that dynamic?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's obviously sometimes that it definitely comes into play where, you know, you might see a press clipping or you might see something that you can kind of, you know, use. But I think one of the most important things we tell our guys, we're competing against ourselves, right? We're not we're playing against team X, Y, or Z, but you're competing against yourself. Like, why would you go on the field and not be your best self? Why would you do that? Like, why would you compete down to a level lower than what you're capable of doing? You're doing yourself a disservice. You've been working since January to play 9 guaranteed games. If you don't go out there and play the best you can possibly play, you're letting yourself down, right? You're wasting the talent you've already had. And plus, you're just wasting an opportunity to get better. So I think that's one thing we stress is, again, you're competing against yourself. You're competing against Quince Orchard. That's how you're making yourself, you, the individual player, and us as a team, become better. right? Because you're competing against yourself. You don't want to, it doesn't matter who you're playing against. That means nothing, right? You're competing against the standard that you've set for yourself. And I think that's important because, again, like you said, yeah, most of the times, again, we're favored. That's great, but that really means nothing. It's how are we going to compete? How are you going to compete? How are you going to make yourself better? And how are you going to play up to the standard you've set for yourself? The standard I have for you, right? My standard for you is way up here, right? And I know how good you can be. I know the standard you have. So if you're competing down here, what are we doing?
So does that play into how you have helped them kind of not be overwhelmed by the big moments or the big games? You know, there's rivalries that you go through during the playoffs where for some of your guys, they've been through it, but others, they've never experienced it. Going down to Annapolis, right, to play at Navy. Some of your players have played in that state championship type environment, but most of them haven't. How do you help them not get overwhelmed by the situation, by the moment, by the environment?
I think the thing is, too, that, you know, from that standpoint, you know, I mean, one thing we've tried to tell us, speaking of like a state championship game or a big, big football game, a state semi game, or, you're playing your rival. I think the biggest thing we try to consistently stress there is it's a football game, man. It's a football game. At the end of the day, it's a football game, right? I mean, is there a championship on the line? Yes, and sometimes no. But at the end of the day, it's a football game, right? So, and you can only – the only thing you can really control is your effort level. You can control your effort level, right? And that starts Monday at practice. If you practice well Monday through Thursday, there's a high probability you're going to play well on Friday night, a very high probability. And that's things you can control, right? You can control that. So you can control the variables, and just, it's a football game. It's not, it's not a life or death situation. It's a football game. So just practice well. You're going to play well, keep everything in focus. That's, it's a football game, and, don't make it bigger than it is.
You actually shared that exact same message that day that I was out of practice before the state championship. You were talking about, I think you all had just gone down to Navy. Do you go down to Navy before the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were talking about, like, hey, I was just down there. Guys, it's a football game. It's a football field. It's got 100 yards, right? Like, you were kind of just speaking that exact same message. Like, forget the lights, forget the stand. Like, it's a football game. So,
correct.
I've heard that message from you, and it makes sense.
Hello. This is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. Be crazy and set some wacky ambitions and dreams. Don't worry if your adventure, dreams, ambitions look totally different from others, even more crazy. One crazy one was set by Truett Cathy with his goal of being closed on Sundays, closing on the busiest day of the week in the restaurant business. He then called it his best business decision he ever made. That doesn't even make sense. Irrational. Yet he had purpose behind his adventure. He wanted people to get some guaranteed rest each week. He wanted to glorify God by giving his team time to worship if they chose on this day. He wanted to honor his life principle of a good name over great riches. Have fun thinking outside the box with purpose. Maybe thinking bigger than even achievable in this lifetime. It may be the best decision you ever make. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
Speak to the dynamic. One of the reasons that I've said Quince Orchard time and time again is like that green standard is, and I posted this on social media about what does it take to build an elite program? And there's really five dynamics that I believe all have to be functioning at a high level in order to get there. You obviously need your coaches performing at a high level. You obviously need your players. Those are two. Second, you need your community, your fans and such. Three, you need your administration, right, to be on board. And then the fifth thing are your parents, right? So like parents, coaches, players, fans, community, and administration. Quince Orchard, there's a lot of great programs in Maryland, don't get me wrong. But when I look at all five of those components, the parents, the administration, the community, the coaches, the players, oh my gosh, they are operating at a high level. All five of them, right? Talk about the role that some of those other components, specifically the parents, the community, and the administration, those three specifically play on a championship run and the value they bring from their contributions.
Yeah, no question. I mean, all those five things you kind of just hit on there, but I'll start again. I'll start first with kind of the community aspect of it. You know, I've told people this for a long time that I don't think you're going to go around, you know, obviously there's other very good programs here in the state of Maryland, but you know, the community support that we get is really just, you know, the game atmosphere here on a Friday night is unbelievable. It's not just, you know, parents of kids on the team, right? It's the community of, you know, players, you know, parents who played on the team in the past and community people, just, they don't have any kids on the team. They've never had a kid on the team, but they're still at the game. They're still supporting. They're still coming out. It's unbelievable.
Let me speak on that real quick. Funny story. I'll be on the sidelines for games and there will be individuals on the sidelines there, maybe a pregame and stuff. And I'm always trying to introduce myself to people. And you are absolutely right. I will go up to people and just say, oh, who are you? Like, who are you here to watch? Or who's your kid? Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't have a kid. I don't have a kid. I just love the QO program, right? Like, there are literally people all throughout, and you don't see that a lot of places, right?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, no doubt. That's the one. That's, you know, again, one of the things that makes this place special is that, just that, and the willingness for, you know, people to just, the support, you know, unbelievable. Like, our current, you know, right now, we have a lot of, that's what I tell people, there's so many dynamics that go into making the program run like successfully. Like one of my former players, his dad does the stats for me, defensive stats for me, you know, every Friday night after the game's over, and gets them to me on Saturday morning. I get them inputted and put in. And, you know, again, this is just, again, his son had played for me, and he's well, again, that, but that's another thing that makes our program successful in my opinion. Cause again, that would be something else that would fall on me that I would have to do. And that maybe that would mean something else I would maybe overlook. You know, that could lead to us winning a game if I had to spend all my time, you know, some time doing that. So that's huge. And then kind of going back to, again, with, you know, the administrative support is unbelievable. Again, it starts with our principal, you know, Ms. Thomas. She's outstanding, you know, supports all athletics at school at Quince Orchard, does an awesome job supporting our kids, the whole student body. And our athletic director, Jeff Rarman, does an awesome job just making sure that, you know, all the teams have everything we need to be successful. You know, no matter what we need, he's going to make sure that we have it. And he's just super, super supportive and getting everything done, lining the field. It doesn't really matter. He does an awesome job, making sure that stuff gets done. So yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, all those things, the community, the men, it's special.
So are you, as in your position, how much are you leaning into those areas to try to make it extra, right? Because it's playoff time, right? Like, I want my community there, but I want them extra. I want the admin extra. Like, or right. Are you just letting that run? Or are you being intentional, saying, all right, hey, I want this done. I want this done. Let's ramp this up. Let's enhance this.
Yeah, there's some of the stuff, like some of the, like, you know, for example, when we leave school for the day of the state championship game, we always drive by the local elementary school. I'm not sure if you've seen some pictures and stuff of that, but I mean, there's, you know, 800 kids outside, you know, as we take our two buses, you know, by the school and through the parking lot there at the elementary school. And there's tons of community. There's probably 2,000, 3,000 people out there as we leave to head to the game. So again, we'll make sure that's kind of set up. That's just, again, our kids kind of see that kind of vested commitment that our community has to it. And I feel like that makes you as a person, like, man, you know, everyone hears this guy. I got to be even more committed than they are. They're this committed. They're not even playing in the game. You know, I could be the guy scoring touchdowns. I got to be even more committed than they are. You know, so I think all that, you know, plays into it. Mm.
You know, one thing I've always admired you, and I've said this to you before, is like there's a security that you have of just knowing who you are, knowing your role, that like you don't need all the credit. You don't need to own everything within the program. You've got one of the largest and most experienced coaching staffs in the state, right? And you give them power, right? And a lot of times, I mean, you really are that CEO of sorts at practice, where you're just kind of overseeing everything, right? Interjecting at times. I want to speak to that because you're not controlling the messaging to the players 100%. You're letting others have time influencing your players. Like, for example, you allowed me the opportunity to speak to the team the week of the state championship. I think about Moses speaking to the team regularly. I think about Coach Mancarini on Thanksgiving speaking to the players. A lot of coaches in this moment, they're handling their team with like gloves, like fragile. Like, I don't want to disrupt anything. I don't want the wrong message. I want to like control everything because it's got to be perfect. But you're the opposite in the sense, like, why is that? Like, how did you get there? Why are you comfortable letting me come in the day before, you know, a couple days before a state championship and speak, or Coach Mack or these folks, and you not wanting to control every inch of it?
I think one of the most important parts about that is it's like anyone in any, like you said, you mentioned like a CEO or anyone like in the business world. I think if you're the one who's supposedly in charge, right, you obviously have to hire people to, you know, or put people in position to help the program or the company be successful. I look at it as my role is I'm bringing in people who I know, who I believe in and trust sincerely to do whatever, you know, I'm asking them to do. So all my assistant coaches, for example, like I would not hire them, or they would not be on our staff if I didn't have complete faith and trust in them to do what they do best. You know, same thing when you're coming in to talk to our kids, or I know you're awesome at what you do. Unbelievable. So I have complete and 100% faith in what you do and the message you're going to give to our team. Right. And I'm comfortable enough to where, like, again, like you said, it's kids need to hear different messages. It kind of goes back to what I said earlier about needing a mental break. It's almost like the wah, wah, wah. You don't always want to hear the same voice, the same time over and over again as a kid. Like, and I think as a coach, you have to have you have to be comfortable with that to be able to accept that. Like, it's nothing personal, but they don't always want to hear my voice. You know, they hear my voice, you know, 80% of the time, you know, 75%. They need to hear other aspects, just like anything in life. You need to hear different sides of everything. So whenever I'm bringing someone in to be involved in our team, that's because I have complete faith they're going to do a great job. And whatever message they're going to give, whatever they're going to provide to the program is going to be outstanding. And I think that's just, you know, a comfort level that I have with, you know, kind of making some of those decisions. But
so no, that makes sense. And, you know, I celebrate you for that. I do want to know, like, as you were going through this run here, what level — you don't need to get specific here — but what level did you have to deal with drama? Let's just talk about like typical team drama. Someone upset about their playing time, someone upset about carries. Does that all go away come postseason time, where everyone's just locked in doing whatever? Were you still dealing with that or no?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, you know, whenever you're dealing with high school kids, right, there's always going to be, and that's just, it's natural. Like, it's whether you're going 14-0 or 0-14, you know, but, you know, there's definitely probably, you know, they say winning cures everything, right? So, you know, winning definitely helps. But at the same time, you know, I think that kind of goes back to relationship piece, that when you have relationships with your players, when things do come up and pop up, you can deal with them. And you have to be in a position where you can communicate with your kids. Like, I'm a big believer in, like, anytime a situation comes up on our team, I'm talking about, it can happen in the middle of practice, I'm dealing with it right away. Like, or as soon as practice is over, like, or if I sense it or feel it or hear about it, like, the worst thing that can happen is for something to fester and to linger, like, and to not address it and talk about it with the player or whatever, or maybe it's two players, whatever it is, you know, and just kind of, you know, and I tell them, I'm listening, guys, my office door is open all the time. If you have any issue, come talk to me. Like, I don't care. Even if you're saying, Coach Kelly, you're an idiot, that's fine. Okay. Let's just come talk about it, man. Why am I an idiot? Let's figure it out. Like, that is just, that's important to making sure that if you do have a situation, you can kind of work it out and not let it fester and not let it linger and deal with it, you know? So, yeah.
Well, and I can tell that is also your personality. Like, you don't want it to linger because it lingers over you and drives you crazy. I remember we had an incident over the summer where one of the guys didn't show up or left early or something like that during one of the workouts. And like, I remember you were like, I mean, it was lingering with you, right? And it was going to linger until you addressed it or until you discussed it or talked to the individual. So, well, are you void of all those during playoff runs?
I would say probably no. You know, things, it's high school football and, you know, you're going to deal with things popping up, you know? But maybe it's 5 weeks, so maybe less of them, but, you know, you always got to have the fire hose ready.
Okay. So, all right. So let's just, guys, as we wrap up here, I want to talk about the day itself, the championship game itself, right? 31-13. I mean, you tell me, like, probably the performance that you're probably arguably top three most proud of a performance. I'd have to imagine that game, right? Just literally from the beginning of the whistle, like, are you changing the game day routine? Obviously, it's different because you're on the road at a different place. Are you sharing different messages? Are you doing any inspirational techniques that you read in a book, right, to do some special voodoo magic or anything? Like, talk about the game day compared to regular.
So one thing is, you know, this year is a little different there. You know, again, we've been there to that game, you know, four times in the last 6 years. So we kind of had a little routine that we kind of like to stick with at that venue. This year it had to change because there's a game before our game. So we couldn't get to the locker room in time to kind of keep our normal pregame routine that we normally do. And I'm kind of big on that. We're just keeping our game day routine the same, no matter what time the game is, we'll do the same stuff. Just to keep the kids, you know, going along with the same thing. So this year we did actually have to go to a local high school before the game to kind of keep our routine. So we went to a local high school before we got to Navy Stadium to do our walkthrough, to do our kind of other pregame stuff that we normally do. And we usually break it up into two segments that are a couple hours apart, but we combined it into one segment at this other local high school. Before we got to Navy Stadium. So that kind of allowed us to kind of stay like in our routine, I thought. And then once we got to the stadium, it was kind of at that point, it was kind of just, you know, everything kind of flowed together. And it was like normal. Cause that goes back to, again, like, you know, it's just a game, right? Whether it's week one of the season, you know, or it's a state championship game, just trying to keep things the same. You know, there's no reason to go overboard and try to reinvent the wheel, you know, because then that's going to throw your kids off. And your kids are going to see that. And they're going to be like, then they're going to get flustered.
So you win the championship. I know this isn't in line with the topic of the episode about pushing the right buttons for a championship run, but just personally, you win a championship. How quick are you back in planning mode, preparing mode for next year?
Yeah, so I'll be honest, this year was long with everything that kind of went on with, you know, COVID and us starting in February, kind of going straight through. You know, we had a 2 week, we missed 2 weeks of the season early on. We got shut down. It was a pretty stressful season, to be honest with you. Like, it was. So when the season was over, like, I needed some time for myself, to be honest, to just kind of shut it down real quick and charge my batteries back up again, you know? So I did do that, you know, for about 2 weeks, just got odds and ends stuff done. And then, you know, we started our player exit meetings, you know, last week before we went away for break. So I'll finish up player exit meetings when we get back. And then we'll get right back into lifting here shortly as we kind of and get rolling in the next season. We've kind of already, the week before we left for break, you know, build out my roster for 2022, start to get that rolling. But yeah, I definitely took, you know, 10 days, 14 days to kind of, you know, just kind of decompress a little bit. It's funny too. I'll tell you another story. I actually got sick on Monday after the game, myself, our offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. We all three of us got colds. And I'm like, a part of me is like, just our bodies were just so run down, you know, like, and our body just was like, and like the season ended, so our body kind of relaxed a little bit. And that's when it allowed us to kind of get sick, you know, get a little cold.
I could see it. Like your adrenaline had been fighting off all those colds for the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, your offensive coordinator, yeah, I can see that, right? Man, he's Mr. Worry. Right?
Yeah.
So I could see that, man. But, well, Coach, appreciate you sharing that. You know, congratulations again. Two championships out of the last three seasons. And just continuing to kind of set that standard for what a high school program can look like, right, for others to get to. And you've certainly done it. Now going into your eighth year as head coach at QO, is that right?
I think so.
Yeah, going into your eighth year here coming up in the 2022 season. So appreciate you spending some time. Thanks for your willingness to come on the show. Coaches that are listening, if you have any questions or anything about today's episode, you can send us a message. Happy to connect you to Coach Kelly. If it's something you want to get connected with Coach Kelly, I'm sure he'd be happy to kind of connect with coaches around the country. But until next time, have fun and lead them up.
We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A and thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead them up.